Well, the key is that God has a future for each one of us. And that's the hope that we have tonight as we look toward relationships. I think the culture and time sort of caused us to erase the M word from our vocabulary. And that's the first way to kill a potential relationship, is to even hint toward the M word. You get there too fast, girls, and the guys are bolting for the door. Oh my gosh, she's looking for a husband. And guys, I don't know what would happen on our side if, you know, the first time out, you're sitting over some nachos and you just say, wow, you'd make a great wife. I mean, I don't know that, you know, when she excuses herself to go to the restroom, if she's coming back or not. And somehow we've sort of ended up in a culture where people don't really even date anymore. I mean, I hang around the college scene, at least want to be an influencer in the collegiate generation. And the stuff I've been reading of people who are so-called the experts on the campus relationship scene say that you can hardly find any college students that will use the word or the concept dating in their vocabulary. Nowadays, we just hang out. Or if you're out of the Christian mainstream, or maybe in it, but not really full on, we just hook up. And that's great. There's no commitment, there's no cleanup, there's no long haul, there's no hard work, there's certainly no commitment, there's no effort. It's just we're hanging out, and when we don't want to hang out anymore, we won't hang out anymore. And that's a simple IM right there. We're not hanging out anymore. That was pretty simple. What? Sad face. No. Yes. Happy face. We're not hanging out anymore. Or we just hook up, which means we just sort of cruise the scene until, you know, we mutually meet up with somebody who's in about the same space we are. And we do whatever seems to be the appropriate thing. We either have a drink or we go to dinner or more. We just hooked up. Didn't catch his last name. Didn't catch her last name. We just hooked up. And what God is saying is, I have designed you so that you in time would leave your father and mother and cleave to your husband or wife, and the two of you would become one flesh. And so God has got a plan for us. And I know some of you are, you know, not supposed to be here, and you're in high school, and you know, you're not even sure what you're doing yet. And there are others of you in college, and you're like, yeah, that's kind of more me. We're hanging out. It's kind of like, yeah, I'm not really sure. We don't really want to call it anything. And then there are others of you, the real singles that are here, and you've been through all kinds of relationships. Some of you have been married a couple of times. You've been through more relationships than you could catalog for us tonight if we went through them one by one. Now, what was his name? Now, where was that guy from? I can't remember where he was from. And how long did we date? And what was it about? And how did it end? But God has a plan for us and for all of us. Doesn't matter at what stage you are in the process. It's ultimately God's plan that we would detach from home. So love it while you got it. If you got it and you're here under the radar, love it while you got it. God's plan is to detach from home, to stabilize. Which means when you detach from home, that you're not like a balloon that the air was let out of, and it's just a big, you know, huge. But you stabilize, and in the process of that, you get a hold of God's picture or His direction for your life. Don't have to know the whole blueprint or all the details, but just this is sort of the way I'm going with God, and you begin to move in that direction. That's God's plan, to detach from home, to stabilize, and begin to move in God's direction for your life. And if those three things are happening in you and me, it is very, very likely that God, in the process of that, is going to bring us to somebody and say, this is your teammate in that journey. And there they are right now. I'd get it if I were you. It could be a sign. If his name's Jeremy, I'd marry him today. And I don't want to keep pushing the issue, because it is true that God, for His purposes, would call out some of us to a life of singleness. But for the majority of us, God is saying, I have a plan. And it's not for you just to hang out, and it's not for you to hook up. It's for you to get ready for the person of your future. And that does not start when she walks in the room. It starts right now. That process doesn't begin when he comes through the door. The process of getting ready for God's future starts now. In fact, it's already been going on for a long time. There are five keys. I want us just to look at them briefly tonight that I think will help all of us toward a healthy marriage. I just said it. I said it out loud. Hello? Can we just say that together? Can we just say that word? I know some of you are like, no, I'm not saying that word till I'm at least 29 years old. And I mean, I got a couple years to go. No way I'm saying that word out loud. Let's just try it. Let's just see what happens. Guys, you go first with me. This will be fun. Let's just have the guys. It'll be a countdown. One, two, three, marriage. Let's try it. You ready? One, two, three, marriage. Wow, that was pretty good. All right, ladies, back off. You heard it, all right? Now, never come out of their mouth. Well, yeah, it just did. So there. I don't know if he was sitting close enough to you that you could hear it, but, you know, maybe you could, you know, work on that later. Okay, ladies, I think we don't even need to hear the ladies say it. We already know where the ladies are coming from. But you know what? That in a way is a stereotype, too, that all the ladies are just waiting to get married. Some of you ladies probably need to say the M-word, too, tonight. So let's just try it. Let's hear the ladies, okay? Let's see what we knew what the men were about. Men sounded pretty desperate, I thought. That was a good sign. That was good. Yeah, all right. Let's try the ladies. One, two, three. Ooh. Thumbs down on the ladies, man. How about the men? I think the men are on board with this concept. It's a very good thing. How many of you men tonight are pretty convinced the problem is the ladies anyway? Yeah, that's what I was thinking. How many of you have had specific problems with somebody that's here tonight? Let's just hold them up high and proud and say, yeah, you can see it. It's over here. Uh-huh. It's up. It's up. Five things I think will help you toward a better marriage. And here's the cool thing. You don't have to wait until you've graduated from high school, graduated from college, settled into your first job, paid off your student loan, or he or she came through the door. You can start right now. And the first one is to open the drawers. If you weren't here last week, I can't do the whole thing. But the first deal for you is to open the drawers, because all of us come with a set of baggage in our lives. This is generational sin. Comes down the family tree, and you know what I'm talking about there. You struggling with the things your dad struggled with. You struggling with the things your mom struggled with. Your dad struggling with the things that his dad struggled with. And there's a pattern of generational sin that God wants to break in our lives. But before he can break it, we got to open up the drawer and say, hey, I got an issue here that runs in the family. And I can't just go my whole life and meet some girl and say, yeah, my dad was like that. And yeah, his dad was like that. And his dad was probably like that too. And it's just part of the deal. It's part of, you know, joining the Giglio clan. That's what you get. I mean, you got at some point take this out and look in it and bring it to the cross of Jesus. And by the grace of God, dump it out at the foot of the cross and say, I need help here. And the second drawer was abandoned. We talked about some parental abandon. But, you know, some of you have been abandoned by a husband or a spouse. A husband or a wife. And that's left ramifications in you at the drawer of abandon. There's a drawer of license or enablement. Now, this guy down here just got his way his whole life. And because of that, he's in no shape to meet anybody and make a lasting commitment. And he thought it was great freedom to have it all of his life. But it's not really freedom at all, because it's bondage on the backside, because he or she does not know how to enter into a covenant. And then down here, we had, what was the fourth drawer? Hello, anybody? The hoops. Performance-based acceptance. Always having to work the deal to get the hug. And then the very bottom, abuse of various kinds. And the first step toward a healthy marriage, the reason I say it again is because so many of us are not here week in and week out. You got to open the drawers and empty them out at the foot of the cross. The scripture that I didn't share last week that I wanted to, as we were building the cross out of the drawers, if you guys were playing at home and you couldn't tell what was going on, we took all the drawers out and stacked them up into the shape of a cross, just as a picture for us of where we come with all this hurt and where we come with all this baggage. And in the passage, many of you know this so well, but it just rang through my heart as we talked about what's in the crevices of our lives. And this is true fact, this verse. 2 Corinthians 5:17 is truth for believers in Christ. Now, it may not be that we've come to experience all of that in a full way yet, but it is true for who we are. And the verse reads this way, if anyone is in Christ, that's a great opening line. And I don't know about you, but all the way through our worship through music tonight, I've been sensing God saying tonight is the night for somebody here to meet Jesus and move from death to life, from darkness to the light, from being somebody who's been thinking about God to somebody who takes that final step and says, God, I want to know you tonight. I want a relationship with you. I don't know where to take the drawers. I don't know how to come to the cross. This is all a new concept for me, and I want to come to you tonight and establish this relationship. My friend has it. That's why I'm here. I've been seeing her life, and it's real, and it's working, and I'm ready to get it. I want it in my life. And then you can come and join this verse. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they've come into a relationship with Jesus, whereby their life now is His life, and His life is their life. It's not heaven when you die, it's the life of Christ living powerfully in you now. And He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, he is a new creation. That's the answer for generational sin, is to become a new creation in Christ. And check it out. The old has gone. You say, oh, no, it's not. If you just look in here, you can tell it's not gone. It really is still here. The old is still in there. He's saying, yeah, it's still in there, but it is not the power. It is not the controller, and it is not the final authority for your life anymore. It does not have to be this way. The old has gone at the cross. It's kind of like Lazarus. You remember the guy that died because Jesus didn't get there fast enough? I don't know what Jesus was thinking, but he couldn't get there. You know, he was just taking his time, and by the time he got there, the guy died. I mean, I'm thinking, how inconsiderate is that? I mean, he was one of his friends, but he just took his time, and by the time he got there, I'm sorry, he's died. And I'm like, well, too bad. I should have come sooner. I knew I should have come sooner, but he died. And when he got there, Jesus wasn't perplexed by that. They were all perplexed. They said, well, it's too late. He's dead. And Jesus said, well, we're talking about he's dead. That's no obstacle to me. Lazarus! And the guy comes, they've already, you know, entombed the guy in his mummy wrap and put him in his place of rest. And Jesus gets there and they're all broken up about it. And Jesus says, Lazarus, this will be amazing, but come on out. I am not too late. Don't you love that? I mean, they're like, you're too late. And, oh, I'm not too late either. Watch this. Lazarus, come here and tell him it's not too late. It's never too late when Jesus shows up. Now, it would have been cool if he'd come before he died. That would have been nice, I'm sure. But it's never too late. So, it would have been better maybe if you'd emptied your drawer to Jesus a month ago, but it's not too late to empty your drawer today. It might have been wonderful if you'd come to the cross a year ago, but it's not too late to come to the cross tonight. Because with Jesus, it's never too late. If you come tonight, He's not going to go, you know what? You needed to come by November 1999, and you missed it, and your grace period has expired, and you're done. I'm sorry. You can take your drawer and go back home. Good luck and God bless you. Or I am God, so just bless you. I mean, it's not that way. Jesus, it's never too late for Him. And so He said, Lazarus, come out. And here comes Lazarus out of the tomb. Now, it wasn't very easy for Lazarus to come out of the tomb because Lazarus had been wrapped up like they would do someone in that culture when they were dead. And so Lazarus is trying to, you know, I don't know if he rolled off the thing and then, I don't know how he's doing it. We don't know for sure how but he's coming. He's moving. He somehow got life, and in the side of his life, he's coming out and he's like, all right, man, this is very happening. Hello, what's going on out there? Where have I been? What's going on? Why can't I move? And then Jesus said, hey, unwrap him. Because he's alive from the dead. And if you're in Christ, you are alive from the dead. It is done. Now, you may need some unwrapping, but you are alive from the dead. If any man or woman is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old is gone, and the new, Paul said, has come. You got to open the drawers. That's the first thing, and I won't give you the whole talk. It's on CD out there. You can get it. The second deal is, though, you got to connect the dots. These are five empty things, five easy things. First one is open the drawers and empty them. Second one is connect the dots. And what do you mean by that? Here's what I mean. It's what I was saying earlier. I'm just coming right back around it real fast. To connect the dots means that you don't have a mentality that says, I am not getting married for a long time, so I'm not going to worry about that or think about that right now. That is not on my agenda of things to do. It's not in my palm. It's not something that's in this week or this month or even, as far as I can tell, this year. That's like way down the road. So I'm just going to hang out for a while or hook up for a while because I'm not thinking about the M word right now. And what God is saying is, hello, you need to have a healthy marriage to connect the dots. And you need to know that today connects with your wedding day. They're joined together. That who you're dating right now is going to affect who you marry eventually. That what you do on Tuesday is playing a part in the kind of husband you're going to be every day. And God has a plan and a future for us. And that future is not some amazing, mysterious moment that we wake up one day and He goes, okay, now it's time for you to get married. And voila, everything's new. When he or she does come through the door, guess what? You're going to be who you are as a result of the process of connecting the dots starting now. And so what you and I do today impacts our future relationships in a massive way. Talk about the hookup thing. People are just out hooking up. Everything's casual in our culture. No commitments, free. You know, there's no guilt. There's no, you know, no baggage from the past. It's just you're out there, you're doing the thing. And God's saying every one of those dots, bro, is connecting to your future wife or your future husband. Every one of those relationships is building into who you are. You know the verse, Jeremiah 29:11. I think most of us have camped out on this for a while, but it's so powerful. And if you haven't heard it lately, be encouraged by it tonight. Jeremiah 29:11. It says this, "For I know the plans I have for you." So in other words, God is not detached from the future tonight. He's not living some kind of a dichotomy in life saying, oh, well, this is right now. I'm just 21 right now, and right now it's just, you know, I mean, what's the world's viewpoint? You know, hey, you're 21. Go for it. I mean, when you turn 29, then you can get serious and settle down. And God's saying, hello, I know the plans I have for you right now. And you need to start thinking like a dot connector. You need to start operating like a dot connector. No, you don't need to walk into every single girl and say, you know what, you could be the woman I'm going to marry. Let me just think about it for a moment. And do a little, you know, interview and the whole kind of thing. You don't need to be walking around like, you know, you can chill out and relax a little bit and still just have some buds and hang around. That's fine. But in your mind's eye, you've got to be seeing today is a domino that touches tomorrow. And that domino ultimately touches my husband. And therefore, I want to think really carefully about today's domino because God has a future for me. He said, I know the plans I have for you. The problem is we don't know the plans He has for us. I mean, that's the whole dilemma, right? But it's okay that we don't because He does. Now, if He didn't, that would be a bad news deal. If the verse read, I don't know what's going on with your life. I mean, then we could throw our hands up in the air. We could take the reins. We could get behind the driver's seat. We could, you know, we could take over. We could take charge. We could ramp up. We could start doing it ourselves. We could worry. We could fret. We could stay awake at night. We could pull our hair out. We could medicate ourselves. We could do a lot of things that the verse said, I don't have a clue what's going on with your life. But the reality tonight is God says, I know. And what He wants to know, is it okay with you if He knows, even if you don't know? Is it okay with you that He knows, even if you don't know? Is there a measure of peace that comes to you by knowing that He knows, even though you don't know? Is there a sense of rest that comes to you knowing that He knows, even though you don't know? Because you know Him, and He knows. So no, I don't know, but I know the one who knows. I know Him, and He knows. That's almost as good as knowing. He says, I know the plans I have for you. Man, I wonder what they are. You ever wondered? Well, He tells us. That's so cool. Another chapter, He tells us. plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then, because we all, our theology stops right there. That's what I'm talking about. Prosper me. Don't hurt me. Give me hope and give me a future. Amen. God bless you and good night. Drive safely. He says, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. God has a picture in mind. And what God is asking for in our lives is that we connect the dots tonight. And that as we connect the dots tonight, it puts us in line with what God's plans for us down the road. The third thing I think that's key in the M word thing and it being the best it can be is that we prepare the way. And these two are very closely related, but not quite. We prepare the way. We open the drawers, we connect the dots, we prepare the way. Let's just try those together. We open the drawers, we connect the dots, we prepare the way. And prepare the way just means that we don't sit back and go, well, God knows and I don't know and He has these plans, so I'm just going to sit back and wait. God is saying, no, you actively engage now in preparing the way, knowing that the dots connect. Start working in the dots to prepare the way for me. It's like the prayer that John the Baptist prayed was his life mission. It's in the song on the new Passion CD. Some of you have been hearing it in your car. Prepare the way, prepare the way, prepare the way of the Lord. And that's, no, the Lord's not coming down the aisle. It's not dun, dun, da, da, and then here comes Jesus. It's not quite that whole thing, or you come down and in He comes with the best man. But really, in truth, it is that. It's saying, Lord, I want You to be glorified in my life. I want You to be amplified in my life. I want Your purposes in my life. I want to be preparing the way. I don't want to just fall into the trap of, well, you know, I'm doing this week and I'll worry about next week later. I want to prepare the way somehow. Beautiful passage of Scripture. If you have your Bible, this is a place you could camp out for a little while. Psalm 37. So amazing, this psalm. I want you to see a couple of verses with me. Now, we'll just begin reading the first verse. It says, do not fret because of evil men or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither, and like green plants, they will soon die away. And then here's the other side of that, verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. So that's active. That's not just saying trust in the Lord, it's all about faith. It's saying trust in the Lord. I believe You have a plan, and now my part of that is to do what's good. To do what's good and honorable and right. To do the right thing. To do the God thing. To participate in the plan. Trust in the Lord and do good. And here's the cool part of it. Dwell in the land. That's the place God's put you. And enjoy safe pasture. How many of you have a different translation than that? Anybody? Anybody have New American Standard? You're reading that? What does it say in New American Standard? Okay, what is it then? Let's make sure what it is before you read it. Is it one of those funny Bibles? What translation is it? Okay, cool. That's great. Could you read that for us? I'd just love to hear it. Cool. Isn't that beautiful? You'll live safely in the land and prosper. Anybody have another translation of that?
Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's beautiful. I don't know if you could hear that. NIV is another one of those places where it's cool, you know, dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Another translation, New American Standard, I love it. I think that's what you're reading out of. It says, dwell in the land. And here's I think, it's getting at the heart of the translation a little bit better. And cultivate faithfulness. In other words, prepare the way. For some of us, that means to till up the soil and prepare the soil. For others of us, it means to clean out the garden and prepare the soil. We just not going to be able to wait one day and God's going to drop Mr. or Mrs. Wright and plant them like a seed in our pasture. But God says, as you're dwelling in the land, cultivate faithfulness. Prepare the way. He goes on and adds to that amazing stuff. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Don't fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Then he just goes on this whole thing and talks about what it means to trust in God. And the trusting here, what's beautiful about Psalm 37, it's active trusting. It's in the process of waiting that I'm doing the good thing. I'm cultivating the land. You say, well, what are you talking about? Cultivate the soil, prepare the way, dwell in safe pasture. What's that all about? Here's what I'm talking about. Some of you are at that little window of time where you really want a husband or you really want a wife. But the dilemma for your life, the major dilemma is that you're in a financial nightmare. And that's one of the reasons you want a husband. You're thinking, okay, Lord, I guess get somebody to bail me out of here. And so you're asking the guys when they come in, and so what kind of mutual funds do you have? And what's your stock portfolio? And do you mind if I saw your checkbook ledger? And, you know, what is your PIN number? I mean, kind of upfront stuff right off the bat. But here's the deal. Preparing the way means if you have a financial dilemma in your life, you need to stop looking for a husband or a wife and pour your energies under the grace of God into rectifying your financial dilemma. Go back to the other point. If you're beyond a leaving point of life and you're still living at home with your mom and dad, you do not need to be looking for a husband or a wife. You need to be finding a way to detach and stabilize. And you're like, you know, I just need a wife. No, no, no. You need to move out of the house. Because conversations do not go good when it's like, and so, well, I don't know, let me check with my mom and dad. I mean, it doesn't work that way. It's like, well, I'd love to have you over, but, you know, it's my mom's, you know, canasta night tonight, and, we just can't do it. I mean, sometimes we're saying, okay, God, I'm ready. And He's like, no, 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 no. Cultivate the land. Put the till down in the soil, friend. You need to prepare the way. You think I'm just going to drop somebody in your lap? You are so wrong. You've got to prepare the way. Some of you are so out of sorts with God. And you just, more than anything, would love to have that person in your life. And you just love them to be there and that companionship and that whole peace that you just want there. Maybe it's not the big M word, but it's at least the big R word. And you're thinking, yeah, you know, I really do. I want a relationship with somebody that I can call at night and hang out with and count on and be there for. But your life with God has gone way off target somehow. You're here tonight, and that's a beautiful thing. But in your heart, you've gone off the path with God. And God is saying, you are in no more in a place that I can give you somebody for your life than the man on Mars. You need to cultivate the soil and return to me. Jesus said, what was his main thing? He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then he said, don't worry, everything you need I will add to you. If you just make seeking after me and my agenda in this world your main priority, I will add to you what you need. And I guarantee you no one has ever missed out on anything on this earth because they were pursuing the heart of God with everything they had. No one has ever missed out on anything on this earth, like any good thing, because they were pursuing God with their whole heart. And it's like, oh, I missed that. I was just running too hard after God. He says, if you seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, all this stuff I'll add to you. I've told you this story 100 times, but when I met Shelley, just the miraculous act of God that put me in Houston, Texas for a summer where I did not want to go to Houston, Texas for the summer. I had determined I was not going to go there. I was coming off a year of my life where I didn't want to see any women. I didn't want to talk to any girls. And I was in seminary at the time, so that solved that dilemma. That's not a knock on seminary. It's just a little different world out there. And not mostly single guys and a few single girls. And it was just like, okay, I'm here. I'm for God. That's all I want. I don't want to go out. I don't want to hang out. I don't want to hook up. I don't want to date. I don't want anybody. I don't want notes on my car. I just want God. You ever been there? by your choice, not because you had to be there and you had a date in 4 years. So you said, okay, I'm just going after God. You know, it's just going to be me and God. But you just decided, I'm done dating. I'm going to date Jesus. I'm going to go steady with Jesus. And a friend of mine said, you need to look into this summer job. And I said, I don't want to do that. And they said, no, you need to come down there and blah, 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 blah. Long story short, I went down there, fell in love with the church, and God moved my heart and said, this is where you're supposed to be for the summer. Walked into the church the first Sunday night I was there. And hello, I'm asleep. Remember that, guys? I'm asleep. But Shelly is wide awake. She's a woman, of course, and very intuitive. So she sees me from across the room. And she gets a clue. She's like, you know, it takes me a while, you know, to dial into that. But pretty soon we knew something was going on. And I went into this deal. And I went into this summer. And here I said this out loud to friends of mine. I said, I just want to get. We're going to be working with college students, which she was one of. I know, knock me later for it. And what? I said to some buddies of mine at seminary. Seminary, by the way, is where you go to learn how to be a preacher. And I said, man, I just want to get a bunch of college guys and just put the hammer down. That's all I want to do this summer. 2 weeks into the deal, I'm looking at Shelly and I'm going, wow. Now, some of you are going to take that and you're going to go, man, I'm just going to go after God. That's all I'm going to do. I'm not going to date anybody. I'm declaring it. Let the small group know. Just me and God. I don't want a girlfriend. Do not even want a girlfriend. Do not want a relationship. Don't bring her now. Please, I'm begging you. Don't bring her now. Do not want her now. I think somehow it has to be in us for real. But I know that when we put our heart on His heart and say, that is all I need, it puts us in an amazing place for God to say, no, it's really not all you need. It is all you need technically, but on earth I want to express myself to you in some other ways. And you, Louie, need Shelly Graves is who you need, and you need her bad. And here she is. And I'm like, unbelievable. I was so resolute and determined that it was not time for me to meet a woman. And I didn't. I met the woman. Prepare the way. What do you need to till up in your life tonight to cultivate faithfulness? You say, well, I'm not really sure. Well, let me give you a little side note for all of us here. If you're not sure what you need to do to cultivate faithfulness, ask some people that you really trust a lot. Just take them to dinner and say, I just want to give you permission. Let's just say one day God had in mind for me to get married. What kind of things do you think I need to be tilling the soil about today? And when they tell you the first one, don't go, what? That's the fourth thing, and it's pretty simple. See the clues. Open the drawers, connect the dots, prepare the way, see the clues. What kind of clues? God will give you clues if you're off the track. First clue will be in your heart and He'll say, eh. Second clue will be in your heart and He'll say, eh. Third clue will be in your heart and He'll say, eh. If you don't get those three clues, it'll be your mom and dad going, eh. If you don't get that one, it'll be your roommate going, If you don't get that one, it'll be two guys in your small group going, time out. If you don't get that one, it'll be the three girls that are your closest buds hanging around going, not this guy. And God will help you with clues. But you got to see the clues. You cannot say, oh, they're just jealous. That's what happens when you're old and don't have boyfriends. You get kind of cranky, and when somebody does, you just get jealous. And that's all it is. They're just jealous. And they're telling you in subtle ways, not this guy. She's not the one. And you're going, ah, you're jealous. Or you deceive yourself and say to them, well, you just don't know her like I know her. And there's a reason for that. It's because I never bring her around because she really doesn't want to fit into our little community that we've established over the years of time when we've logged in life together. She wants to split us up and drive me over here and take me over to this environment where it's just me and her, where she can do a number on me, and it's and not around the family, not around the friends, not in the community, not in the church, not in the small group. And it's all over here with her now. It's like, hey, we used to hang out with you, then you met her, and it's like, whoa, sayonara, see you later. Come when you, you know, when you get done, come back kind of thing. And you're like, well, you just don't know her like I do. Duh! We hadn't been around her. And we'd like to ask a question. Why have we not been around her? If you could just see what I see. And they say, and if you could just see what we see. Because you have 2 eyes and we have 10 eyes. And you say, but I'm so in love. And love covers a multitude of sins. That's what the Bible says. Some of you are going, oh, well, that's good. That's good. Hey, Mom. You don't get too far in successful marriages on being in love. You only make it in successful marriages by being committed. And commitment is a form of love, but it's different than falling in love. Love blinds us. And that's why it's really important that you not just go out and date any guy that walks down the street and says, I want to spend time with you. See, some of your cultivating the land means you need to till up Tommy and tell him to take a hike. I mean, that's getting ready. And you say, but he's a Christian. But you know what the deal is? God's not really that interested in is, well, you're a Christian and he's not a Christian and Christians can't date non-Christians. God's kind of into this deal that if you really have a passion for God and he's a, quote, Christian and comes to church a couple times a month and will show up at 7:22 because, hey, look, it's a kickback deal. But he's not in the Word. He's not in prayer. He's not after God. He's not passionate for the kingdom. Then God's saying, drop him too. You need a passionate lover of God. You need a kingdom-minded man. You need a Bible-reading guy. You need a praying boyfriend. You need somebody who's about the nations. You need somebody who's got a clue. You need somebody who's dialed in and turned on and switched on. You don't need to say, oh, but he's a Christian. Well, great. Congratulations. What kind of Christian is he? Well, I mean, he believes all the stuff. And your parents have said to you in 100 different ways, I know some of your parents are in the drawers and you say, Louis, if you knew my parents are so whacked out. I could bring Mother Teresa rolled in with, you know, Tara Reid home and they'd be like, ah, I don't believe she's the one. You know, I mean, it's just not going to work around our house. And okay, so you may be the one exception of 3,000 people, but God will give you clues other ways. But most of us, if your parents are not on it, you need to get off it. You say, well, I'm 30 years old. Well, they're still your parents. And they're going to be her parents or his parents. And if your mom or dad and a couple of people in your close crew are telling you, dude, this is not it. You need to cultivate the soil. And you need to say, you know what, God? I don't think they're right. But your word, Proverbs 11:14 says that where there's abundance of counselors, there's victory. And I'm seeing the clues. I see the clues. And we're breaking up. And you just tell her, we're breaking up, and you can put it off on them. I'll tell you why. Because the people who love me the most on this earth don't feel good about this relationship. So we're breaking up. Some of you are sitting in here tonight, and you're like, Louis, you've so just ruined everything. And all I'm asking you to do is consider whether you want to go it alone. The same verse in Proverbs says, and come to destruction. Or do you want to let the multitude of eyes around you say, this is what we see. And the way that you know that is by asking them. And then lastly, and we'll just touch on this one briefly. Next week, by the way, we're going to talk about the dreaded C word. We talked about the M word, a little bit about the R word tonight. The dreaded C word, commitment. And why can't we make it? Why can't we make it? But the last one of these tonight is to resist the lie. And it's pretty simple. I'm into bottles. It's not beer, by the way, if you're in the way back. Oh, cool. Amstel Light. All right. I'm loving this series, man. Hey, thanks for inviting me. I'm into packaging. I'm a sucker for packaging. I go down the aisles of the grocery store and I buy the stuff that looks the coolest. So when they design all this stuff, they had me in mind. And some of you go in and go straight to the Dr. Pepper. I'm like, oh, that's a cool bottle. I think I'll try that. You know, ooh, look at that one. You know, let's get one of those. I'm into Arizona iced tea. I actually think it's a great product and I just love it. But I love the bottles. You got to give the guys credit for the bottles. A, they got a big enough opening that you can get the stuff in your mouth. And I'm all about that. So that's one good thing. You know, this one comes with cool hand grips just in case, you know, that's an issue for you. And it's got little four fingers and a thumb on one side, which is kind of cool. And they got all these different brands. This one caught my eye. Can you guys get a close shot of that? Can you see the label that? I don't know how close they can get. It's funny. It is RX Stress is the deal here. And if you can see right here, there's the little medical emblem. You know, the little cross is up here on the top. To me, that's looking like, you know, you need medical help. Here we are. And then down here we got the RX thing, which is, you know, in the form of looks like a prescription. You know, that's going to mean some kind of medicinal value. And it's Arizona iced tea, and it's herbal. It says that on here too, herbal iced tea. And so I'm thinking these guys, brilliant. They went down the jungle, the rainforest, and extracted some stuff and got it in here. And if I drink it, I'm going to be well. So I'm all about it. I just got it. Put it in the buggy. He's going to shop with me. It's quite an adventure. And we get to the checkout. And Shelly's like, who put that in the buggy? What is that? Where do we get that? Why do we want that? The fine print down here was interesting to me. There's no way you could get a tight enough shot to read it. So let me read it for you. We got the RX Stress Herbal Iced Tea. A soothing blend of naturally decaffeinated black and green teas, so you get all that stuff. But here's the fine print at the bottom. This product is a food, not a drug. It is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any diseases. Like, oh, I guess that's why they called it RX Stress and put the little medical symbol on the top of the label. It's just a gimmick. I mean, you say, well, did you really think it was going to heal something? No, not really. I just thought it was interesting that they made the thing out that if you just walk by, you think it's going to do something medicinal for you. And then they say clearly in the bottom of the label, this has got no hope of helping you in any kind of medicinal way. And that's the last part of this little deal, and we'll just touch on it. We did a whole talk on it last time we came around this series, but then we did a whole series on Sex and the City, and that's available if you want to dig in more of this. But the last part of this is just resist the lie. We started with ignore the lie, then I figured out you cannot ignore this lie. It's hormonal, it's internal, it's connected, it's part of us, and it's going on. And so to say we're going to ignore that would be kind of foolish. Well, we're just going to act like that's not happening, and it's happening. But the lie is this, the culture is telling us that sex is the way to ensure that our relationships will be stronger, more committed, more intimate, and closer. That if you really want to get in with this guy, and you really want to get in his heart, well, then I'll sleep with him. And if I do that and I give myself to him, I'll really get inside his heart. And it'll put me at a place on the playing field where I know that I've got some security. Because the thought is, at least it said so on the label, that this is the pathway to intimacy. And intimacy means closeness, and closeness means connectedness, and connectedness means that when he sees these other girls, it's like, yeah, well, you're attractive, and yes, I'm working with you all day, and blah, 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 but I slept with her. And so that, for us, is a stronger bond. And so sometimes out of pressure, we cross over the lines, and sometimes we just believe the label, and our hormones are full on telling us that this is what we want to be about. And we haven't carefully cultivated our soil, and so we've put ourselves in environments which are deadly formulas for even the strongest Christians. And then we find ourselves in places where we've compromised really what we felt sexually was right for two people. You don't need me to sit up here on a stool and... Well, some of you may, because I mean there are people in our culture that don't have a clue what God is about. But most of us in the building don't need me to sit up here and go, now, sex before marriage is not in God's plan. I think God's already been telling us that in our heart. And not just intercourse, you know, and so we didn't do it. It. What is it? What do you mean by it? Did we do it? But God is saying whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good, whatever things are of good report, these are the kinds of things I want you to be thinking about. God says you reap what you sow, and whoever sows to the flesh, you reap from the flesh, corruption. But whoever sows to the Spirit reaps from the Spirit, life. God says the dots are connected. And if you sleep with this woman, you take this woman to your honeymoon. If you sleep with this guy, then you take this guy into your future marriage. If sexually you cross the line here, then sexually you'll never go back across that line again. The dots are connected. And the label is false. We could take a poll here today. And we could ask the question, how many of you thought at some point in a relationship that you were in that the relationship would be stronger if you had sex with that person? And I'm not just saying intercourse, but some level that you knew was beyond the parameters that you felt God was honored in that relationship. And so you went for it. And the only question I think we need to ask of ourselves is, did it work? Did it ensure that the relationship was strong? Did it ensure that the commitment was deeper? Did it bring you to a greater place of intimacy? And did it last? You know, it's amazing that in real life, almost the opposite is true. That the way to wreck a great relationship in a hurry is to have sex. And most of you have seen it happen. Most of us have seen it happen. It just begins to weird out everything. And you feel weird about it, and they feel weird about it, and you come back and have a conversation about it, especially if you're followers of Jesus, and you're trying to seek first the kingdom. You say, okay, we screwed up that, and that was not where we want to be as a couple, and that wasn't the deal, and we're going to set new deals, and that's not going to happen again. And then when it happens again, it's like, oh, what do we talk about this time? And then it's kind of like, okay, let's just don't talk about it this time. And then eventually you talk about it again, and you discover that it's like a freight train going down a steep hill, and it's just really hard to stop that thing and shove it back up the hill. I mean, once you cross over certain lines and once you put certain things in motion, it's very difficult to stay in a committed relationship and say, you know what, we've done this and this and this, but for the next year of our relationship, while we're cultivating our soul and preparing for marriage, we're going to go all the way back up to here sexually. I mean, you'd be like in the one percentile, in the one-tenth of one percentile of couples in the world if you're able to pull that off. And all I'm saying tonight is that just to amplify and just restate what you and I already know, that God has said to us to flee from immorality, to go the other way from it. And so for some of you, it's not in your heart of saying, well, we're not going to do that. It's in your heart of saying, we're not going to put ourselves in a position to let that happen. Because I don't trust me and I don't trust her. We're going to resist the lie that's going to bring us closer together. And we're going to really believe what's really true is that when God said leave and then cleave, He didn't mean, well, I've left home, so I guess I can go cleave with someone tonight. He meant when you leave, you left for the purpose of committing to them for life. And then He said, cleave and become one flesh. Go for it. That's when you go for it. God has a purpose. And He knows what it is. That's so cool. And you may not know His name or where He lives or what He looks like or what He's going to be about when He comes through the door. But God is not asking you to wait till that day. God is asking you to begin right now to become the person that you really want to be when He comes through the door. and to become the person that you want him to be when he comes through the door. You become that person right now. Guys, you become the girl that you want to marry. I want a girl that's this, and I want a girl that's that, and I want a girl that's the other. Are you any of those things? It's like, well, no, but I'd like her to be. Well, you begin to let God cultivate the soil. Get around some people this week and say, you know, I mean, it'd be 5 years before I get married, but in those 5 years, what kind of stuff do you think God's going to want to till up in me? What's the stuff I'm not seeing? What drawers do you think I need to open? What issues do you think I need to come face to face with? What parts of immaturity in me do you think God really wants to root out of me the most? And can you help in that process? Because I know that right now, today, God is working toward his ultimate future. The biggest step of all is the step of coming to know Jesus personally as the forgiver of your sins and the giver of eternal life. And for somebody tonight, that is your first step. Not toward a healthy marriage, but toward life. And he's right here tonight, Jesus is, inviting you to come and take hold of him. Let's pray together. Will you pray with me? Let's just draw in together. Let's just knit our hearts together. And I want to pray a simple prayer tonight, because I felt since we started worshiping musically earlier that God really wants to just give somebody tonight the chance to say, Jesus, I need you in my life, and I want to become a Christian right here tonight. And so I'm going to pray a simple prayer. And it's not this prayer that's magic, and it's not this prayer that saves us. It's our faith in God that saves us tonight. It's you sitting in your seat, wherever you are, up in the back or up in the balcony or on the steps, and saying, God, I need you. And I want you in my life. I know that I've sinned, and I do believe that Jesus Christ was real, and then when he died on that cross, he paid for the sins of the world, and he paid for my sins. I believe that. And so I'm asking you tonight, would you forgive me? Would you cleanse me because of what Jesus did in my place? Would you wash me clean? And would you give to me your life, eternal life? I want to know you. I want to be a Christian. I want to follow you. I want to be alive. I want to be forgiven. If that's where you are tonight, I want to just pray this prayer, and I want you just to think about the words as they come by and make them your words, and you just pray them to God right from where you're sitting. All right? Just say to him, Dear God, I want you in my life. I know that I need you. And I have no hope of getting to you all by myself. Thank you for sending Jesus, your only son. I believe that he died for me. I ask you to forgive me of all sin. Cleanse me. Wash me clean. And Lord, give me eternal life. I want life that lasts forever. Jesus, come in. Take over. I want to know you and follow you. Lead me on all the days of my life. Just thank him. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible said it's by grace that you're saved through faith. That's what you just exercise, your faith, saying, I believe. It's the gift of God, not a result of work, so that nobody can boast. And any of you who just prayed that prayer, God heard you and answered you, and something happened to you right in this moment. It's called new life in Jesus Christ. And we celebrate that with you tonight. We're going to sing together. And after we sing together, we're going to clear out this space down here in the front and keep it quiet.